This Galactic Netcast is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. Listen to over 20,000 radio shows and podcasts on your smartphone, tablet, or PC, anytime, anywhere. Stream directly to your device with no downloading or syncing. Sign up now and get the free app by going to Stitcher.com and use the promo code GALACTICNETCASTS.
By your command.
Felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
Who built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Exterminate!
Silent Breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
We live in a spaceship, dear.
Hear ye, hear ye. I'm Dave Nelson, and on this 23rd day of July 2014, I call to order this, the 17th meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Let's commence with the roll call. Matt Stein, are you here?
Yeah.
Okay, your question this week, if you created a robot army, what would you call them?
Peterson's Imperial Forces.
Peterson's?
If anyone gets the reference, then
no.
I like you that much more.
I don't get it.
Craig Ferguson's sidekick is a robot.
Oh!
Named Jeff Peterson.
Oh!
Okay.
See, I haven't watched
Never knew the last name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That, and I haven't watched Craig since, like, right when he got the robot.
Okay.
I do love the Craig Ferguson
And
show.
That was built by Grant Imahara, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. Continuing on. Brad Ludwig, are you present?
I am.
Okay, your question this week. What were the most amount of comic books you've ever had at one given time?
You mean that I've purchased at one given time?
No, that you've had in your possession.
That you owned.
Yeah.
I lost count at 6,000.
6,000.
Oh, good God.
Oh, my God.
I currently have 6,000. I gave away, or no, I'm sorry. I have about, no, 6,000. I gave away, I think, about 500 or 600 to a cancer charity auction thing.
So you whittled it.
A rummage sale.
You whittled it down to 6,000.
See, I was going to make a comment and say, Anessa, if he's holding you there against your will, blink really fast. And then you made me feel bad for thinking that by saying you donated a bunch of them. So thanks, Brad.
You're welcome.
That was a quick life cycle. All right.
That's what I do.
So, Anessa Moyens, are you here?
Yes.
Okay. If you could write a science fiction short story, what would it be about?
I have no idea. I was thinking something to do with coffee and tea. And perhaps they were like some sort of alien beings that were just consuming unknowingly.
Or it could be this. One, if you drink coffee, it gives you one superpower. And if you drink the tea, it gives you another superpower. You don't know what you're going to get.
That's a good idea.
Hey, not just a hat rack, my friends. All right, so let's introduce our guest this week. His name is Scott Johnson. He's an artist, creator of the My Extra Life webcomic. He's also a podcaster and founder of the Frog Pants Studios, which has the shows The Morning Stream, The Diablo Show, The Therapy Show, Comic Dorks, Autopilot, Diary of a Cartoonist, Film Sack, Current Geek, The Instance, The Final Score, The Spoiler Show, all at frogpants.com. He's also the proprietor, or he puts on the yearly Nerdtacular convention every year in Salt Lake City. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, Mr. Scott Johnson.
Hey, man. Woo-hoo! Thanks for having me.
Here we go.
That's so very nice of you all. Thanks for having me on.
Fanfare for you, Scott. Here we go. That's yes. All you get. All you get. Welcome. Wow. Welcome, Scott.
We're on a budget. Welcome, man. No, I understand. Aren't we all, though, in some way or another?
So this format of the show may seem really familiar because I pretty much modeled all my podcasts after yours, Scott. So
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I feel bad that you've made such a horrible error and that these shows are going to be terrible now because of it. No, that's an honor, though, to hear that because I work really hard at these shows, and it's nice to hear that rubs off. And I'm always of the opinion that we should all be sharing in the great goodness that is podcasting. Let it just wash over us like the sweaty milk-like substance it is. And I'll stop there because that's getting weird.
That's very descriptive. Ooh. Descriptive and graphic at the same time.
Indeed.
Kind of weird.
And vaguely creepy, but yeah. We'll roll with it.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. You know, whatever works, sure. All right. Okay, so basically we're going to talk about the week's science fiction news. But before we get into it, let's talk. Oh, I forgot to ask you your question. Your question, Scott, besides your favorite film, Waterworld, what's your second most favorite post-apocalyptic movie.
Okay. So, just for some clarification, I do like Waterworld a lot, but for all the wrong reasons. I actually think it's kind of a terrible movie, but I love it.
It's not good, so no. I see where you're coming from.
It's not good at all. It was never good. I think what it is, and I've said it before on other shows, but I think that movie is just a brilliant idea with terrible execution. But the execution is so bad at times that it's one of the most enjoyable times you can ever have. Name another movie where you know, pop out with machine guns. I mean, you can't do it. There's no other film that matches that. It's a fantastic film, and it's terrible at the same time. I wouldn't call it my favorite movie, but it's up there when it comes to my post-apocalyptic movies. So if I had to pick another one to answer your question, probably going to go with, oh, geez. Now it's hard now that you say it. Because there's a lot of zombie movies I'd put in this category. There are a lot of other kinds of sort of sci-fi future movies. You know, if I really wanted to put Blade Runner in here, I could and probably get away with it. But if we're talking like something bad has happened, things have burned to the ground, we're going to have to just strike out on our own and try to find food and survive. And, you know, other people are a bigger threat than whatever else is a threat out there, kinds of movies and experiences. And I'm probably going to have to go with probably Road Warrior, if there's a gun to my head, or better yet, if there's a guy waiting outside my gates going, just walk away, then I'm going to have to go with Road Warrior. That's a fantastic movie.
All right. That's correct. Good.
That's correct.
Nice.
All right.
1 point for me.
Yes. You didn't know that we were keeping point or keeping track of points. Okay. Yeah. Let's read the minutes from last week's meeting. Brad, it's been 2 weeks. Do you remember what we talked about last time?
No, haven't a clue. Oh. But thank God it's written down here.
Yes.
So Matt brought to the table the TV show adaptation of the comic book Powers is going to be coming to PlayStation Network. It was originally going to be on, I thought it was going to be on FX originally.
No, I think you're right. Yeah, I heard that.
They had everybody cast, and then it all fell through. So they're actually going to be recasting those characters for the PlayStation Network version of the Powers adaptation. The story I brought to the table was the U.S. government, the military, has actually hired Hollywood to help them make an Iron Man suit.
And,
well, that's cool.
Yeah, and we've got a follow-up to that story this week. I believe Matt has something to kind of...
Similar, but a little different. It was posted 2 days ago versus 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Gotcha. All right.
Also, hold on a second. Isn't the Powers thing is animated, right? That's not live action, I don't think.
I think it's live action.
Is it?
Yeah, it's live action. Yeah.
Why did I think I saw at the E3 conference they were showing nothing but animated? Was that just them like concepting or something and they never...
It might have been animatics for it, but...
Oh, well, that makes me more excited then, because I was kind of like, yeah, all right, another cartoon, cool, that's fine.
Yeah.
Live action's interesting, that's cool.
The first Powers run was so good. Actually, I want to say like the first three arcs were really, really awesome.
Who does
it'd be interesting to see where they take it.
Who does that comic?
What's that?
Who does that comic?
That's Brian Michael Bendis, of course.
Yep, Brian Michael Bendis, and
it's an independent published by, I want to say, Image, if my memory serves.
Okay.
They were a part of Marvel's independent line that they had, not Max, but something else. But that was like 2008. They may have shifted back over, but I was always angry because Bendis was always writing the Avengers and every other godforsaken Marvel title that Powers always got backburnered. So,
well, you're totally right. I just looked it up. So they started out on Image 2000 to 2004, and in 2004 the series moved to Marvel as part of its Icon imprint. You're totally right.
Icon, that's right.
Yep.
Now it'll be interesting to see a live-action show about, you know, a comic-related story not relating to DC or Marvel on TV.
And it's perfect because it's, you know, procedural cop dramas are kind of the thing now. And this really kind of falls in line with that. So it'll be interesting to see what they do through PlayStation Network. Dave brought the story of... Mark Wahlberg being the bionic man, the $6 million man.
And we all agreed that that's the wrong choice. That we need somebody not as Hollywood, not as like Pretty Boy, right? That was the consensus, I think.
Yes. I think after seeing the story today that Will Ferrell is actually going to be doing a Manimal movie.
Oh my gosh, dude.
That's true? No, that's absolutely 100% true.
Oh, that's a terrible idea. All right, sorry, keep going.
It was on IO9 this afternoon, and that broke me, essentially, because I remember watching Manimal as a kid. And at this point, anybody could be the $6 million man. If they're going to do a Manimal movie, for the love of God, all bets are off.
That could be as bad. That could be as bad for Will Ferrell as Land of the Lost was.
Land of the Lost. Yeah. I hope it's not another Land of the Lost for him. But
well, I mean, they're taking Manimal was kind of garbage. I mean, people universally don't think that show was very good. So it's clearly not a serious play at the material. He's going to try to be goofy with it. I'm a little surprised it's even something people put money behind, because who remembers Manimal? Hardly anyone does. Yeah, Manimal was kind of terrible and forgettable.
It's a kind of a standing joke on the internet if you want to talk about bad TV.
It's kind of like redoing The Greatest American Hero, you know?
Yeah.
I heard that was happening. Somebody was working on some of that.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Yeah,
that could be bad.
William Catt is like actually written. They did a comic book of The Greatest American Hero, and William Catt was doing some writing for that or something.
That might be what I'm thinking of.
Some ridiculous stuff.
Okay, let's move on with the minutes. What else?
Yep, Anessa brought the BBC accidentally released some of the scripts to the first five episodes of this season 8 of Doctor Who. And the BBC kind of pleaded with the internet to not share them and not ruin the surprises.
And then shortly after that, a rough cut of the season 8 premiere got leaked as well.
Yeah, it just... I'm kind of wondering at this point, because they weren't going to San Diego Comic-Con, so I'm kind of wondering if accidentally stuff maybe may have gotten leaked out. I know that they're doing a tour, but they're not actually going to be at Comic-Con because they're finishing up filming. So, and last, our guest geek, Hugh. Oh my God.
Hugh Howie.
New York Times
best-selling author of the Wool series.
Completely my brain shut off. I'm embarrassed. Normally we do this every week and I remember, but I guess 2 weeks is my memory limit. Hugh actually didn't bring a story to the table, but we did a bunch of Q&A about the Wool series and about self-publishing, and had a lot of questions and a lot of people checking it out, which is really cool.
Very, so, very enlightening. I learned a lot about self-publishing when he was
on. Yeah, quite honestly, if you want to know about how to start your career being a writer in an EPUB world and not deal with print publishing, you might want to go back and check out the previous episode.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
That was he went into it and it was really cool.
All right.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love the Wool series. I read that and thought it was maybe one of my favorite books ever, and didn't know at the time that he was like doing a lot of self-publishing, or this had kind of come out of nowhere and been a Kindle single for a while and all that. And when I found all that out, I was like, yep, this is the future of publishing, man. This is the way it needs to go, because we'd have never heard from that guy otherwise, and I love that series. So good.
Yeah. And he was just a really, really nice guy to talk to, and he's very, very gracious in answering questions. So.
And since then, Amazon has announced their Kindle. What's it called? The all you can eat books monthly fee thing.
Kindle Unlimited for $9.99 a month.
Yeah, that's hella good. Hella good.
Okay. Yo.
All right, let's move on to new business. And Matt, as always, you got the first story.
As previously mentioned, there was some additions to the military asking Hollywood to help create the Iron Man suit. Basically, they say it's teaming up. I'm just going to go ahead and a woman say that they've hired Legacy Effects to create the Talos suit. Legacy Effects will be working closely with Exo Bionics, a company that creates exoskeleton materials. They're going to study the movement of insects and sumo wrestlers to help grasp the full capacity of an exoskeleton and how people can gracefully move with a lot of weight on their body.
Whoa, wait a second. So are our future soldiers going to be wearing, like, big diapers? Is that how it's going to roll?
Well, they're saying that the suit's going to weigh, like, 400 pounds. So how is a 200-pound man going to, you know, do all this crazy stuff with an additional 400 pounds of suit? So I'm sure they're going to study how sumo wrestlers move around a mountain man.
Yep.
Yeah. And the my favorite part is the military has already spent $10 million on this. And the suits will be out in 2018.
Sweet.
Well, considering how much they've spent with, because they did a previous version of this project, and from 96 to, well, I can't remember what the previous story was, 2006, they had a problem that they couldn't figure out, and they finally did, and they've spent like hundreds of millions of dollars.
They're really hot on this. They really want this to happen, it sounds like.
They really do.
I think it's kind of ridiculous, but I don't know. There was a quote in the story that the people from Legacy said. It's like when you're creating like a movie prop, like all bets are off. Like you can do whatever the hell you want. There's no rhyme or reason. But when you're creating something that someone has to utilize in battle, it's like a completely different ballpark. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with, or if it ever actually sees battle. And if it sees battle, I feel like it's the next step in robots taking over the world.
So, okay, speaking of that, let's go back to the original discussion from last week, and our big debate was what's better, armored human beings or robots on the battlefield being controlled from behind the line someplace? What do you think, Scott?
Well, I don't know. The idea is, so the core idea of this whole thing where we are going to make an army of metal men, basically, and this will be the future of warfare, is a little far-fetched to me. But I'm more inclined to lean toward what I saw in Edge of Tomorrow. I don't know if any of you guys saw that.
Oh, movie. Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
That movie was awesome. And a lot of people were worried about those exosuits in the trailers because I just thought maybe he looked a little goofy running in them. But after seeing the movie, I decided that's how we want to do our mechanized suits. I don't think they need to be all sleek and helmeted and have a freaking robot in there being all butlery with us and everything. We don't have to go full Tony Stark with this. We can go a little more rough, a little more, you know, kind of, I guess, utilitarian. They don't have to look great. They just need to work well. And we're a lot further along in that direction than we ever are in some self-contained suit that, you know, needs to completely cover a dude. There's video all over the place of people testing out prototypes and stuff. So to answer, well, actually, I don't remember what your original question was now that I've gone down this
robots,
rabbit hole.
Robots or Iron Man?
Oh, robots or Iron Man. All right, so we may make some giant breakthrough, right, and go, the AI is so good now, they'll just do what we tell them to do, and no man will ever be in the battle again, and we'll all just survive behind desks and control these robots or whatever. I suppose that could happen, but I feel like tactically and sort of the ability to make the kind of decisions you have to make in a battlefield. I'm in the middle of reading Old Man's War, and it's got me thinking about this stuff a lot lately.
Just that book.
What a great book. I know. It's like 05 that thing came out, and I'm just finding it. I don't know what's wrong with me. The book's amazing. But anyway, the point is that I feel like we still need that kind of quick reflex sort of brain thinking that only a human can do, at least right now, and I think that's the only way you're going to be able to do is put him in a suit. So for now, I'll say suits. Break some new rules with AI, maybe I change my mind, but I think it's suits for now.
All right. Again, correct answer, Scott.
Thank you. Bing, bing, bing.
You're on a roll.
2 points, 2 points.
All right. So cool stuff. Thanks, Matt.
Yep.
Brad.
There was one quick thing I want to talk about. Previously, I did a story on like the most anticipated sci-fi video games of 2014.
Yes.
And Destiny was on that. And I actually got my hands on a Destiny beta key for PS4 and had played it. And I don't know, Scott, you might be a gamer, you might not. I know the rest of the hosts on this show, Brad, a little bit. But
I'd say just
hey, me a little bit too. Thank you very much.
By the sheer fact that half of my podcasts are gaming related and my big fat computer right over here is just begging me to play it and my PS4 is in there humming saying, when are you going to play the Destiny beta again, Scott? I think I probably will.
See, I don't want to assume anything. I did see the Diablo show, Diablo's favorite game of mine. But anyways. Oh,
great. Hear that show. It's good.
I'm going to listen to it tomorrow at work instead of working.
All right.
But so you've played the Destiny beta, sounds like.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so right out of the gate, it felt very Halo-y to me, which kind of made me sad because I wasn't a huge fan of Halo in the first place.
No.
I was also really drunk the first time I played it, which didn't help. So when I went back and played it not inebriated, I quickly fell in love with the game because like the RPG and MMO aspect to it. So I went from not being at all excited for this game to running out and pre-ordering it instantly. So anyone that's listening that might be kind of on the fence, if you like first-person shooter or RPG type stuff, or like an awesome love baby, go buy this game.
Yeah, it's totally a love baby, and it's really good. And the part that feels Halo-y is good because it means it's a solid shooter and that action can feel right. But that's where the comparisons end. The rest of it is very much RPG, MMO, character progression, loot, you know, loot gathering, Diablo style, or better yet, even Borderlands style, which is very Diablo in the first place. So that stuff is in there, and I need that in all my games these days, I feel like that's where I'm happiest, and this game just has the right balance of all those things, and it is damn good, and it looks really good, and sounds really good, and I think they got a huge head on their hands.
Yes, I agree. Thank you, Bungie, for ruining hours and hours. Let's just go with days. You're going to ruin days of the upcoming month.
Well, that's their goal, right? They want people playing their stuff.
You've hooked at least two people in this room, so congratulations.
Yeah, nice work.
Okay, now, Brad, it's your turn. What do you got for us?
All right, so the premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy, it's going to be in theaters August 1st. They had a red carpet showing earlier this week. I think it was Monday or the end of last week, one of the two. And what IO9 did is they actually sat down with James Gunn, and he actually talked a little bit about, at least in this article that I pulled, things you want to see before you see the Guardians of the Galaxy. And the reason why he says that is some movies of the past really kind of influenced how the movie came together, how it was shot, some of the character interactions and things like that. On the list of movies that you should really see before you see the Guardians of the Galaxy, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Wars, Back to the Future. But two movies that kind of shocked me, but then after he kind of went through it, The Right Stuff, which I'm trying to remember when that came out.
Like 81, 82.
Was it? Yeah, it was early.
Real
80s,
early.
Wasn't there?
Yep.
Dirty Dozen. Dirty Dozen, that's perfect. That fits. That's a perfect themed movie for this one because it's kind of a ragtag group of people, right?
Yep. And some of one of the main shots that we've actually seen of the team coming together while walking down the hallway is based off of a shot in The Right Stuff, where all of the astronauts are coming down the hall, but they kind of all walk in line together. So a bit of Sergio Leone films, spaghetti westerns like Once Upon a Time in the West, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, kind of from a cinematic standpoint, you need to see that because it's going to have some of that that feel with the shots. And he even went as far as to say that Tyler Bates, who was the composer for the movie, actually tried to pull not so much the execution, but sort of tried to draw from how emotion is kind of generated by the music of those particular films and try to put that into this film as well.
What I find interesting is a lot of these films on this list were inspired by films previous to them, like Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Lucas was inspired by a lot of older films for those movies. What else? There was one other one that I can't remember right now. Well, you know, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is kind of inspired by Westerns that came before it. So I guess the lesson here is, you know, filmmakers are inspired by other filmmakers that come before them.
It'll be interesting to see how much inspiration they take from the actual comic book. You know what I mean? Like, other than characters' faces and stuff like that. But it's interesting to hear them make all these other comparisons. I feel like those comparisons are for a wider mainstream audience who do not have any experience reading those Guardians books. Hopefully that gets filled in the movie itself. I have really high hopes for this movie, and I'm super stoked about it. And it's funny because it's the first Marvel movie I'm heading into without an incredible amount of love for the source material. I'm not a giant fan of the Guardians books. They're okay. But I'm more interested in how much of a risk this might be for Disney to go into a place in the Marvel lore that is not tried and true, that is not Iron Man, that isn't Thor, that isn't these familiar places with a lot of sort of mainstream acceptance built into them. They're going into a place that I guarantee you at least 70% of the audience is seeing this thing have no idea what this is based on.
Well, so, that funny, might actually work to their benefit, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, funny that you would mention, you know, the stuff that's not in this movie, because io9.com did, or they published an article earlier this week about the stuff that you will not, that has been in the Guardians comic book that's not going to be in the movie. Like, you know, the team that was before the team that's in the movie.
Yep.
And some other aspects that I didn't know about.
Yeah, that's more the film. That's more of the Guardians of the Galaxy that I'm more familiar with is from the late 70s with Charlie 27 and some of the other, you know, characters from the future that the Guardians of the Galaxy were. So
a lot of weird rumors going around as far as cameos go. Like I read that there might be a Howard the Duck character in this.
Good Lord. Isn't that is that Marvel or DC though? Who owns Howard?
That's Marvel.
Is that Marvel? Oh crap! That's not good.
That's possible then.
Yep, oh. That's totally Marvel.
I mean, look at it this way. I mean, I have some bias because that movie blows. Howard the Duck does, but it's not. You know, even if, but if, okay, let's pretend I live in a vacuum or I live in a world where Howard the Duck didn't happen and it wasn't garbage and I never saw it. I should feel the same way about Rocket Raccoon. It's a terrible character. It's super stupid. Now, they may completely blow my mind and it'll be amazing, and I actually think it looks great in the trailers. Somehow they've pulled this off, but it's a terrible character. Howard the Duck's no worse than that, so if we didn't have this history with a horrible Lucas adaptation, maybe I wouldn't care if he was in this movie. Maybe it's just fine. If I'm going to accept a raccoon running around talking wise, then why not a freaking stupid duck? Why not?
I think the problem with Howard the Duck is exactly that, though. It's got baggage, you know. It was a mediocre comic in the 70s, and it was a really horrible George Lucas film. I don't think that you could... moving away, I mean, they can't really, I don't think that they can have him in the film, but with Rocket, there's no real expectation because it doesn't have, like, the baggage that Howard the Duck is going to have.
That's true. The only baggage you'll have is if this is bad. If they pull it off, and I think they probably can, then he'll be revered and kids will love him and he'll be fine.
So far, the reviews are coming in pretty favorable right now. Yeah. I haven't seen Rotten Tomatoes to see what they have to say.
I hear a lot of he's stealing scenes he's in, and that's good. You know, you don't want him being the bad part of the scene.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Yeah, I guess we're gonna live in a post 2014 world where animated raccoons are okay.
Well, you know, going back to somebody's point, I forget who made this about. I think it was Scott about how this is a hard sell. Something so obscure, not really on people's radar as far as Marvel characters or a Marvel franchise goes. Well, Iron Man wasn't the most popular either, and they made that work, right? I mean, Iron Man wasn't a premier character in the comic books, right?
He's a long-time B-level character. Half of the Avengers are that way. Most of the Avengers are that way. Nobody thought of them as their top-tier characters. They thought of X-Men, and they think of Spider-Man, and they think of Wolverine specifically in the X-Men, and these characters that Marvel has always counted on to not only sell books, but then to sell movies, were not in their hands to make. So they said, well, let's take our B-tier and see what we can do with them. And they have done what I would have considered impossible before all of this, and they have turned those characters into the upper crust of the Marvel pantheon, and they are making their other franchises that they don't have the rights to make movies for look bad. Look like B-level material. Spider-Man does not look like your leading character anymore. He looks like, oops, we screwed up. And the other ones, like Iron Man, used to be so low level, and it's not that way anymore. It's crazy how they flipped that. Completely flipped it. So let's see what they do when they eventually, in my opinion, I know a lot of people disagree with me, but I think they're going to get the rights back at some point. Let's see what they do with those characters again. Do they Are they suddenly as awesome as they ever should have been because now Marvel controls it? Do they not care because the Avengers is so big? Who cares? Like, I don't know. I don't know what they do.
I think in the grand scheme of things, they want everything back. They really do. Because the level for crossover potential and whatnot, I think would be, and merchandising from that would be so stupidly amazing that they couldn't help but want that. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Fantastic Four movie. Right now, it's got so much negative buzz and baggage. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But another thing too, in comic books with characters, there was a point in time when the Vision was more popular than Wolverine, and it really kind of depends on who's writing and what kind of story arcs and what opportunities are taken with the character and in direction. So I mean, it's kind of sort of been paralleling that in the movie. In the movie forms of the characters, as well as, you know, from the comic books. It really depends on who has the character and is doing something with it. And they've got if they put a crappy team together to put the film together, it's not going to go well. And Fantastic Four, the first two Fantastic Four films were okay. They were enjoyable popcorn movies, but they weren't what they should have been.
No, that's my point. Anybody who's got control over these movies that isn't Marvel now are making mediocre films. So they just need to either get power back to get them back, or their job is just to continue to make what used to be write-off characters seem way more rad than they are. I mean, we're coming up on a time where Ant-Man may be way cooler than Spider-Man, and that is just not right with the universe, man. What's going on? It's twisted business.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. All right. Interesting. We could talk about this all night.
Yeah, we could.
But let's move on, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Okay, so I'm really impressed with what Sci-Fi is trying to do with the shows that they're going to introduce in the next year and a half, 2 years. So apparently they are going to premiere another space-based adventure show called Killjoys. Have you guys heard of this at all?
No. I've heard the name, but I've not heard anything else. I've seen the name, rather.
So, okay, it's going to star Aaron Ashmore. Do you guys know who he is?
Yep.
From Warehouse 13.
Warehouse 13, yep.
Before that, he was on Smallville, right? I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, he was.
As Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen, yeah. So, they are casting now for the show. It's also going to star Luke McFarlane. He was in Brothers and Sisters. And British actress Hannah John Kamen. She was in something called The Hour.
The Hour. That's like a big time fancy movie, I think, isn't it? I think it is.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. I want to say it won like a bunch of nominations and stuff. Hold on, I'm gonna look this up. Oh, I'm thinking of The Hours.
Hours.
It's just The Hour.
The Hour, singular.
Never mind. That looks like garbage. It was a show that was on for like 5 episodes, and then someone flushed it.
All right.
yay for that lady. Woohoo!
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
We'll see. Orphan Black producers are producing this, and it's being written by the writer of Lost Girl. Her name is Michelle Voretta. And basically, the series will follow a fun-loving, hard-living trio of interplanetary bounty hunters sworn to remain impartial as they chase deadly warrants throughout the Quad, a distant system on the brink of a bloody multi-planetary class war. And Ashmore will play a character described as a cheerful peacemaker who prefers not to fight, though his sarcastic...
A pacemaker? A cheerful pacemaker in the chest of an old man? Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Big scoop on the show?
Yes, they're all the characters are gonna play appliances that go into the human body. You got the pacemaker. What else? What else is there?
Colostomy bag.
Yes.
Wait, sorry.
The pacemaker, the colostomy bag, the leaky the leaky anus. He's my favorite of the heroes. old leaky anus saving the world once again.
Little anal seepage never hurt anyone.
Yeah, little anal seepage. That's his motto.
Yeah.
Do you know the origins of old leaky anus?
No, it was the Silver Age. I kind of avoided all that.
He ate too many of those Olean chips back in the day.
See? See, yeah. That was the problem.
Yeah, they're never going to make a movie out of old Leaky Annis.
No, yeah. He'll, no. Well, I don't know. Marvel surprised us before. Let's see what they can do. They could take the bottom tier character now.
Okay, so
blow everybody's mind.
So they're going to start filming this 10-episode season next month, tentatively starting 2015 sometime. So this is the first, or not, this is one of a few different shows premiering on Sci-Fi that are actually taking place in space. The other one that I saw that's really interesting looking is the one about the spaceship that's launched during the Kennedy administration. It's kind of like a generational ship that they're trying to get to this so-called inhabited planet, or not habitable planet, and they, I guess the ship breaks down or stops like early, and they have to figure out how to get there or something like that. So that's another one that's coming to Sci-Fi. What's happening over there? All of a sudden they're going from wrestling to actual science fiction again. That's cool.
Well, Sci-Fi will find a way to piss all that money away and make Sharknado 57 and all that crap. Mega Shark and...
But don't you guys think
whatever.
That...
Don't forget Mansquito, dude. That's a hell of a thing.
God, I remember the promos for that.
Mansquito. He's part man, part mosquito. What is not to like about that?
Shocktopus, Sharktopus.
Now, here's the deal. Sci-Fi has a weird track record, right? They have some really amazing stuff, and they have some good ideas. That 12 Monkeys thing they got coming is interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope they put behind that what they need to make it work. But I think in a world where it is increasingly obvious, it should be to them, it's increasingly obvious the cable channel's next big move is original programming, and it's quality stuff. And if you're not on board with that, if you don't get your AMC on, you're going to get left behind in a really, really bad way. They have a real opportunity here to strike out and decide where to throw that money, and throwing it behind really good original programming and not the next Sharknado and not the next wrestling contract. If they can do that, we could be looking at a renaissance of science fiction on TV if they play their cards right. Now, I'm not saying they will. They've shown real hesitancy before. They should have been leading this pack for years now, and they haven't. So there's a lot to make up for, but I think they still can. There is money behind that. This is less about Sci-Fi making good decisions and more about parent companies like Comcast, NBC, and others who now own that channel, willing to put enough money behind that channel to produce that content. And that's really all it comes down to.
And they're also, I think they're probably also looking at the network and their crappy shows, because if you look at like the AMC shows or the HBO shows next to like the ABC or CBS or NBC shows, they look terrible, you know? So I think if they step up, put some money into it, I think they'll get some viewers out of it and make some money. Can you guys see me? Am I here?
Yep.
Yeah.
You're there.
Yeah, you're here. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. It's weird.
Can you not see yourself?
No, I couldn't see myself. That was weird. And then you guys weren't. Then you guys weren't talking. I'm like, am I really here? Is this happening?
I count that as a win when I can't see myself. That's actually not a bad thing in my book. But no, we can see you, and you look great.
Oh, thanks, God.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So I also wanted to mention, you know, the whole Star Wars films coming out. I think that's going to bode well for sci-fi as well. If that helps the train move along, then I think we're...
Well, you'd hope so, right? I mean, Star Wars has the pedigree. It certainly has the interest. It certainly has everyone's ear and everyone's eyes for the next year or more. They would have to colossally blow this job for this not to work. Even if they do blow it, it'll still be Star Wars, and it will still be huge, and it will still not stop, and we'll still be rebooting it in the future. There's no way Star Wars isn't a giant juggernaut of craziness moving forward.
And if what happened in the late 70s, because Star Wars ignited all the science fiction on TV, if that can happen again, then we're in business. We're good to go.
Yep, I'm excited. Bring it on.
With better quality this time.
Yeah, yes. With higher quality and more practical effects and props, finally. They just got dirty old ships that are as big as a dude instead of all CGI, and I'm into that.
And no no Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
No, I don't want that. But I also don't want George Lucas in the 1999 making crappy CGI green screen everything. I want to have some stuff where a rebel pilot can stand next to his freaking TIE fighter or his X-Wing. Sorry, I don't want to mix up my Imperial and Rebels. But I want him to stand next to that thing and be able to touch it and feel it and have it look like metal and like star stuff had hit it and dirtied it up and stuff. Like, that's what we need. We need gritty, dirty Star Wars back where people had to do effects that weren't just computer. And I love CGI. Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge fan. Bring it. Love it. But Star Wars needs an injection of the good old way they used to do it, because that's a huge part of why it was so rad.
Yep.
And they made it into a video game in 99 and just ruined it. So bring it back, man.
Okay, I'm going to try a little segue here. And Anessa, I hope you don't mind if we kind of move people around. Can I bump Scott up? Do you mind?
No, that's fine. I should have bumped myself before you, because it kind of ties in with Brad's story about Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I just wanted to kind of segue from what Scott was saying about the X-Wing fighter. Not X-Wing. What would you...
No, it is X-Wing. Okay. You're right. Yeah, TIE fighters. TIE fighter, definitely not. We haven't seen one of those yet. I hope we do, but...
Yeah. Yeah. But that relates to your story. So do you want to just go ahead and jump into it?
Yeah, so they started showing up as pictures first, and then eventually a video accompanied it, and we figured out what the heck he was doing. But the images initially showed J.J. Abrams standing next to what looked like a version of a X-Wing or an X-Wing or some kind of Rebel fighter ship, because there are some differences, and certainly color differences is what I noticed. But it shows him standing in front of one, looking like he's just showing it off. Well, later it turns out there is a charity involved with the production of Star Wars called Hope. New Hope for Change. I don't know. Something like that.
Force for Change.
A Force for Change. Thank you. That's it. And it's a video of him talking about this program and how it helps kids and all this other stuff. And it's him standing in front of this thing while the camera sort of pans out away from, and it looks like they're in sort of an airfield near some warehouses where there's a lot of actual aircraft probably being stored. I'm sure this is where they're keeping a lot of these props and stuff for the film. Anyway, they pan out. He does his story, talks about what's going on, how people can be in the movie. At one point, he kind of does a little acting and has a orange-suited fighter pilot come and kind of have to get into the thing. And there's a droid out in the dirt riding around and stuff. And it's all very cute and fun and everything. But what it showed me more than anything else is that they are serious about practical effects, shots that are in real locations, just creating that kind of organic thing that Star Wars did so well in the 70s and early 80s that they lost when they got all shiny with CGI and nothing but CGI and forgot what it means to have kind of a, I don't know, rooted in reality kind of feel to the materials of the world. And this video's got me 12 shades of stoked to see what they do, because they're not building that for his dumb little promo video. They built that for the freaking movie. So yeah. I'm all in, all hands on deck. Let's go. I'm more excited than I've ever been for this reboot. So I guess it's not a reboot, but I'm excited about the sequel.
Was that droid one of the droids, or like one of the droids on the Death Star in Episode 4?
Where you got Chewbacca growling and it runs off, freaking out. I think that's what that was. Looked like it. Sounded like it. Who knows? I mean, they have access to that whole sound library, so for all I know, they're just picking and choosing and putting a fake droid out there. I don't know, but. It just looks beautiful, and I'm beyond excited that, you know, the interiors of ships are not going to be CGI'd around people. We're going to see what the Millennium Falcon is inside of it, and we're going to just get back to what made Star Wars great. And if everyone's on board with that, if that's JJ's aim, if that's producers and writers and everybody acknowledging these aesthetics, we are in for a freaking treat, man. Even if the story's not great, I don't care. It's like the Star Trek movies. They were, if you really break those plots down, they were okay, but they were fun and loud and had the essence of Star Trek in them. That's all they got to do for me. Give me the essence of Star Wars, and I'm back in, baby.
And why would they not go that route? I mean, when you have the ability to do practical effects along with, you know, special effects and visual effects, computer graphics. If you can make it look and jive all together, make it look really good, cohesive, I think, go for it.
Yeah, it's 2015, dude. We got this. We got this thing. I just saw the Apes movie, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. It's amazing. Totally amazing. The stuff we are doing with practical effects and performances with layered in CGI where appropriate is at an all-time freaking high. So if we cannot figure out how to make a rad Star Wars movie in 2014, 2015, then we are doing it wrong.
All right.
That's the big statement I'm going to make today. That's where I get real. That's where I'm serious, man. It's the most serious you're going to see me tonight. That's it.
You know, in that video, I was almost hoping that they would actually, the guy would fly off in that thing. I was
right.
I was like, oh my God, that would be awesome. It didn't happen.
Too expensive.
Yeah.
They're like, we can't do a shot of that. Then you'd have to bring in the CGI guys and all their money making. Forget it.
I wonder.
Or a nice big crane. I'm sure those are cheap.
Oh, yeah. They could have just, that's true. They could have craned it out of there. But then somebody have to scrub the video and get rid of the line, you know, the cables and just there's all this post production just to talk about a couple of t-shirts and a guest spot on the movie. But
yeah. Yep.
It's cool. It's cool that they're showing this stuff off. I feel like J.J. Abrams understands the world we live in, understands the internet, and he gets this idea that things can be very important and viral by just sticking something on Twitter. So all of these things combined should give everybody a new hope, if you will.
Nice.
That was terrible.
That deserves something. Hang on.
Yeah.
Let me find something. Oh, here we go. Hang on. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's all right. That was appropriate.
Yeah.
I got a better one for you. How about this? Here you go. Right here.
Boo!
There. I got booed.
Oh.
Oh, I have another one even. I got booed twice.
Hang on, I'm trying to find another one here. I can't play the soundboard. I know what you have. I know what you bring to the table, Scott. And I don't know why I'm even trying, because I'm gonna lose.
Well, that's all good, man. It's all good.
All right. Final story of the episode. Anessa, what you got?
A dying headset.
Oh, no.
Whoa, breaking news, dude.
I know. Breaking news. My headset's like, beep, beep, beep. I'm going to die.
Oh.
But sci-fi related news. Zoe Saldana, who has starred in Star Trek and Avatar and is now going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy as Gamora. She did an interview earlier this month, or I guess it was probably late last month, with what's it called? BadassDigest.com. And it's for their next issue of Birth, Movies, Death. And during this interview, they asked her a question of what draws her to these types of movies, what draws her to the science fiction realm, because she's been in several sci-fi movies so far. And she says that she likes being in space because there are better parts for women in space. She says, I don't have to subject myself to just being the love interest or playing the character that doesn't feel relevant to the story or playing a woman that doesn't feel like an actual depiction of a real woman. When I read films in space and I'm working with these kinds of filmmakers, there's a neutral sense to the way they develop the characters. It makes me feel very significant, very relevant, and very excited. And she also goes on to talk about how she also likes the visionary qualities of the filmmakers that she works with these types of movies. And she goes on to say that they give themselves the right to imagine the unimaginable. I'm the kind of person that even if I wasn't in this business and I was at a barbecue and someone like James Cameron and Steven Spielberg and J.J. Abrams was at that barbecue and they weren't filmmakers, we'd still end up talking. I'd be in that group. I'd gravitate towards those people more. They're such interesting creatures to me. And so, yeah, I just thought it was really interesting that she chooses sci-fi because of how women are stronger characters. They're not as helpless as in some movies. There's a lot more creativity with sci-fi these days. So I think
agreed. Cool. Totally agree. Best part about her, or best part of Avatar, was her. She blew my mind in that thing. She emoted more. She got more out of that performance capture. Freaking Sam Worthington, give that guy cut his pay, dude. He was terrible. But she was great. She was amazing, and she's good in everything she's in. So yeah, bring it on. And that's what a cool answer. That could have been such a Hollywood like. Well, I just really like the blah. Whatever.
I really like the producer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was such an intelligent, awesome answer from somebody who seems so strong and so so commandeering on film. It's nice to know that that's her, man. That she's just kicking trash and taking names. It's awesome.
Yeah, she genuinely enjoys these parts that she's doing. Right. And it's not just for the paycheck.
Yeah. So I loved her in The Losers. Just a great movie.
I've seen The Losers.
Oh, I own it. It's a comic book adaptation.
Oh,
Yeah, it's got the Chris dude who played the comedian in Watchmen. Yep. That guy.
And Chris Evans, who played Captain America.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And yeah, it's an interesting cast, and it's a great story. But it's kind of sad that she has to work in a fictional element to have stronger female characters. You know, you'll never see her do something like Bridget Jones's Diary or anything crappy like that. Which...
You know, screw that anyways. You know, screw that anyways. Just because those movies have been done to death over and over again. Same stories, different people, different setting. You know, this is why sci-fi, fantasy, and genre films are the best. Or TV shows, too, are the best.
I agree. Totally agree. Yep. And she'll end up doing some other rad stuff. This will open doors for others to see her and see what she's capable of and go, you know what, we need her in this thing, which will be a little more down-the-line drama that isn't sci-fi or have genre sort of trappings or something. And that'll be great. That'll be good for us. It'll be good for her. I find her extremely compelling and interesting to watch.
Yep.
Only so many people on this earth.
You know, and... Sorry, Scott.
No, you got it. You're fine.
Okay. I was going to say, you know, that comment that she said about gravitating towards people like J.J. Abrams, kind of that's kind of telling. I think she's also kind of a geek as well. I think she's into this stuff. I think she's just she's not doing it just because they're strong roles. I think she finds the stories interesting, and I'm guessing that she's got, like, a geek past, like she was a Trekkie early on, or you know she collected comic books or some aspect, some form of geekdom she was when she was younger. That's just a wild guess.
Yeah, well, more power to her, and I can't wait to see how good she is in Guardians. She'll be great.
Yep.
Oh, I wanted to mention Chris Evans, if you want to see him in a non Captain America great role. Check out Snowpiercer.
I was going to say that may have been my this post-apocalyptic movie. I would have said if I'd seen it yet.
It's great
because it looks awesome. Yeah, I want to see it. Yeah.
And it's both in theaters and it's available like pay-per-view on demand right now as well.
iTunes has it, I think. Yeah,
I highly recommend it. All right, that's going to do it, everybody. That's a show. We did it. Congratulations.
Woo-hoo!
Nicely done, everyone.
Yay!
All right, Matt, are you ready to kind of review the summer movie draft? We do one of those too here, Scott. So
I am. So we are currently still in second place. Team Crab Ram Rat. We're down by $5 million. What we're watching weekly is in first with $1,050,982,000. Oh, excuse me.
You're just making up numbers.
$1,050,000.
What?
How trillion? I'm really bad at math. $1,050,982,877. There we go.
Whew. That would have just shortened.
Throwing out trillions.
Billion.
All these numbers. Team Car Ramrat, second place with $1,045,576,945. And then Team Hondo bringing up the rear with $707,191,101.
What movies do you guys have, Anessa and Brad, what movies do you guys have coming up? Do you guys have...
TMNT and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, I thought you guys had Guardians. So, okay.
On Friday, Lucy and Hercules come out. What we're watching weekly has Lucy. We have Hercules. And then Get On Up comes out 8-1, which we have. And then Guardians of the Galaxy also is 8-1. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is 8-8, which is the last movie of the draft.
Okay. Can I mention something real quick about The Rock? Did you
Dwayne Johnson? Is that who you mean?
Hang on one second.
You mean Dwayne Johnson, yes. Not Charles S. Dutton in the 90s Fox comedy The Rock?
Yes. Dwayne that Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Okay. I guess he's been throwing out hints that he's going to be playing what character? What DC character?
Oh,
Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
I was going to say Shazam, but that's not it. But he says that's Shazam true. Though, right?
What's that?
He says Shazam to get his power, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, Shazam was Shaq.
Seriously?
Or was that Kazam?
That's Kazam,
That's
yeah.
Kazam.
That was Kazam, okay.
That's
he'd make a better... who's the villain? Oh, crap. The DC villain that's so villainous. Crap. Think of really his name.
Narrowing it down there, Scott.
He's an alien dude, and he's real tough. And he's
not amazing. Despero.
Despero. No, not Despero. Is it Despero?
He's maybe the dude with the big the purple fin on his head.
Oh, yeah. That's who I'm thinking of. He'd be great at that.
Yep.
There are a lot of other characters beside, well, whatever. He's the Rock. He can do whatever he wants, but.
Yeah, right.
An odd pick, yeah.
And there's rumors going around that they're going to introduce the whole cast to Justice League this week at Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's all right, too. You know what? I'm going to hold out hope for that. I'm going to hold out hope.
Yeah.
We'll see, man. You know, it's what I want. I want a Justice League movie. I just know DC is kind of playing catch-up and screwing up left and right, but I'm gonna be hopeful on that one.
They just keep, like, adding more. And we're going to have this person. And we're going to have this person. It's like, wow. You're going to have zero character development for all of these people you're going to just shoehorn in there. Yikes.
Well, I think what's going
to happen, they're trying to achieve Avengerhood without doing all the work that you have to do to get there. And they're just not, haven't been willing to do it, and Marvel's eating their lunch right now, so they got to, I don't know. I understand their desperation, and you're not wrong, but I'm going to just hold out some hope that somebody smart will make it work.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. So let's wrap this sucker up. Scott Johnson, where can people find you? Or what do you want to push? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, gosh. Too many things. Probably, I don't know, for fans of this show, you probably would like things like FilmSack at FilmSack.com, where we talk about weird, bad movies from yesteryear. Sometimes more recent, but you never know. Me and three co-hosts, we have a real ball on that show, so that's something to check out. Or maybe if you are interested in video games, might I point your attention to something like The Final Score, which I recorded tonight, where we talk about general gaming news and talk about the games we're playing. Or the Diablo show or The Instance. World of Warcraft and Diablo fans will enjoy those, Blizzard fans in general. But for everything I'm up to, you can just go to frogpants.com. You can see the whole listing there, as well as follow me on Twitter, at Scott Johnson.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure, man. You guys are a hoot to hang out with. Thanks.
Cool. All right. You can subscribe to us by going to our website, galacticnetcasts.com, and clicking on subscribe, or just look for us on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher. galacticnetcasts@gmail.com is our email address. Send us some feedback or voicemail, 805-328-3966. Also wanted to kind of promo some guests coming up in the next few weeks. We have singer, songstress, Ellie Spagnola coming up next week.
She's great.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We've got this guy, his name is AJ Fry. He is the host of this show called Inner Space on the Space Network in Canada, where I am. And he's going to be coming on the week after that. And then we've got the author of The Martian, Andy Weir. Andy Weir is going to be coming on.
Yeah, Weir. Weir is the name.
Yep.
And he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that book was good, too.
Yeah, we're all reading it, so it's going
to
be fun.
I didn't wait 8 years to read that one for some reason, but it's really good.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, another Galactic Netcast in the books. And I guess I'm going to call this meeting adjourned. I guess I have to, so here we go. Hang on. All right. Okay. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right.
See ya.
Thanks, Scott.
You are absolutely welcome. That was fun, you guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.